Well, good morning. Thanks, Greg and team there for leading us. Great to have you here this morning. How's the Christmas uncluttering going for you? Is it going all right? Love you guys, and I'm so glad you come here Sunday after Sunday. You're hungry for God's Word and to hear from God what He has for us each day. My name is Rick. If I haven't met you yet, love our church, love our Christmas season together here. We're going to continue our series talking about Christmas unclutter, and particularly how sometimes sins of the heart, as Jillian spoke of earlier as she lit the candle, will affix themselves to our hearts and to our souls. See, the world began beautifully. The world began right as God created this relationship with our first parents, Adam and Eve, for us to live in harmony with Him and harmony with one another. But then they chose autonomy over relationship with God and rebelled against Him. And so this sin entered our world, and this brokenness came between us and God and between us and one another. And so we experience that in relationships. Hurt people hurt people. So we're hurting people. We live in this hurting world. And so, sin's done against us, whether things people say or things people do against us, cause this tension in relationships. And likewise, we hurt others because we are part of this sin nature. And so we say and do things that cause hurt in relationships. And oftentimes, Christmas can bring out that hurt, right? When you have family get-togethers and suddenly past bygones find themselves into the presence or present, or something gets said. Hopefully it doesn't end up in the present. Ends up in the present time. That sometimes in marriages or in parent-child relationships, workplaces, wherever, some of these tensions can flare up. And so we want to talk this morning about how unforgiveness, anger, guilt, resentment, bitterness, etc., can so attach themselves to our souls. Because it's like if we think of the challenges in interpersonal relationships, we can almost think of it as kind of like a debt between two people, a debt. And Jesus compared to forgiving somebody as releasing a debt against them in this parable in Matthew chapter 18. And when there's a debt between two people, there's an imbalance in that relationship, right? You've got the debtor and the debtee. And either the debt needs to be repaid or the debt needs to be canceled. And so sometimes in life, somebody will hurt us and we become angry. Somebody will trespass on our rights and we become angry. And it's like when somebody hurts us that they've stolen something from us. It could be things like our time. You know, if someone's stolen our time, we get angry. And sometimes it can happen real quickly, right? You come to a four-way stop and both cars come at the same time. Your car and this other car. Who goes first? The car on the right. Hey, is that still a rule? You know, in theory, right? You know, but that person goes first, and you're thinking, "Hey, what are you doing? I was here first, or we came the same time. I'm on the right hand side," and we get upset because we've lost that precious 5 seconds that it took that other car to go through the intersection. And of course, that's a rather simple illustration, but yeah, people can rob us of time, or perhaps somebody slanders us at work or at school, and our reputation has been stolen from us. Or some of the loudest cheering in the last 2 months has come from me with the advent of the hashtag MeToo campaign started by actress Alyssa Milano. As women and men have stepped forward with their stories of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And some of these stories that have surfaced have been from way back, from decades back. And what happens when something like a sexual assault happens? Something gets stolen, right? It could be one's purity. It could be one's dignity. could be one's self-worth, could be one's integrity, all sorts of things. Or sometimes it might be money that gets stolen from us and we're angry because of what has been taken. Or maybe it's an opportunity that was robbed of us and we want justice for this missed occasion. We become hurt when somebody has stolen something from us. We become angry. Everybody say that word, angry. Angry. And when we're angry, we think towards the other person, you owe me. You owe me. The root of the anger is the perception that something has been taken and we want payback, right? Somebody's got to pay. This debt has been established between the relationship. And we think, he owes me or she owes me. As I put on your outline, a heart full of anger is a heart looking to get paid back. The question is, how and what? What's fair? What's just? As we talk about uncluttering our souls this morning, is your heart looking to get paid back? Paid back perhaps from another person, or perhaps paid back from God. Now, theologically, we can't do that. Experientially, we sometimes feel that way, right? We think that God has robbed us. We think, well, I did this and this and this, and now, God, you've given me this hard deal. Why am I going through this hard time in life? And we think that God has stolen something from us. We've been hurt in life. So we perceive that there's this debt that's owed. Where do we take it? An angry person says, you owe me. Let's talk about another attitude that sometimes affixes itself to our hearts. And that's guilt. Everybody say guilt. If an angry heart says, you owe me, a guilty heart says, I owe you. We feel guilty because we've perceived we've done something wrong. We've thought thoughts we shouldn't have thought. We've said things we shouldn't have said. We did things we shouldn't have done, and we feel guilty. In a sense, we've stolen, whether stolen from God or stolen from another person. We have this feeling, I owe you. Let's say a man, this Christmas, leaves his wife and his kids. He, in a sense, is robbed from them. What is he robbed? Well, it could be stolen financial security for her and the kids, or maybe emotional security for their family, or Christmas traditions, because there won't be the same Christmas traditions in that family. So let's say this guy leaves his family. He's talking with his four-year-old daughter, and the four-year-old daughter says, Daddy, why did you leave us? And he says, well, Mommy and I couldn't get along, but it's going to be okay. And then he says, I'm going to make it up to you. Make what up? He wants to pay back, right? Because there's guilt. And so he says, I'm going to do this or do that. In a sense, saying, I owe you. So we think or say things like, I owe that person an apology. We are debtors. But how do these debts of I owe you or you owe me get repaid? Whether it's in a relationship with someone else or what we perceive in our relationship with God. How does a guilty heart experience relief? Because no amount of paying it off, in a sense, giving or serving or loving or doing, isn't going to make up, isn't going to atone for the guilt in our heart. And likewise, an angry heart, how does an angry heart experience relief? An angry heart is looking to get repaid, as I said. But when and how can it ever be repaid fairly? Taylor Swift was in the news this week. Any Swifties in the crowd? Okay, well, there's a few. If you don't know what a Swiftie is, you're probably not one of those. So a jury had ruled in a lawsuit that Taylor Swift had with an ex-DJ in her favor. And there was this, you know, lawsuit and counter-lawsuit. And like I said, that it was ruled in her favor that this ex-DJ had groped her. And so she was awarded $1, a symbolic dollar. And supposedly this week it came in the news that the dollar was sent to her. Now, how did the judge come up with that amount? And is that fair? And if not, what is fair? And when I heard that in the news, I thought of another story that comes in Max Lucado's book, In the Grip of Grace, where he talks about a fellow there, Kevin Tunnell, and that he's required to mail $1 a week to a family. They sued him for $1.5 million, but they settled on $936. Because Kevin Tunnell, when he was 17 years old, was drinking and driving, and he hit and killed this 18-year-old girl. And so the family of the 18-year-old sued him. He was spent 7 years campaigning against drunk driving, but he keeps forgetting to send the $1 in. And according to the mother of the girl who passed away, she said, "We want to receive a check every week on time. We're going to go back to court every month if we have to." And we understand her pain, right? We understand. If that was your daughter, if that was your sister that had been killed by this drunk driver, you'd be angry, right? You'd be mad as hell. You want justice. But what's justice? A dollar a week for 936 weeks? See, he's offered to bring a box of checks for 936 of them, but they don't want that, right? They don't want the money. They want penance. But how does a guilty heart or an angry heart get repaid? A dollar? A dollar a week? What is fair? What is just? When we are angry with someone, we're waiting for the debt to disappear, for justice to be served. We're waiting for them to pay for their hurt against us. And likewise, when we feel guilty and we've stolen from someone else, we're looking for this guilt to be atoned for. But my question for you is, how? How and when? Those of us this morning who've got a guilty heart, how long are you going to let that guilt reside in your soul? Like, are you just going to kind of keep it through the rest of the year and into next year? Those of us who are feeling that somebody else owes us, somebody's got to pay, we've got anger clinging to our hearts, how long? How long are we going to hang on to that until we let it go? And Christmas is often a time of reflection. We reflect on our lives, we reflect on our family. Some of us as men, over Christmas, Boxing Day, perhaps as things get quieter or we're not working, we'll be thinking about a relationship with our Father and the hurt that is there. How does that hurt get atoned for? God brought you here this morning, December the 10th. It's the first day of the rest of your life. Today you can unclutter your soul of the tar of sin that so easily affixes and attaches itself to your soul. To Jesus, there the angel said about Jesus that he came that first Christmas. Kelly, why don't we stick it up on the screen there? Matthew 1:21, let's read it together. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." He came to save you from your sins. He came to save us from the effects of guilt and anger, what it does in our lives. I invite you to turn with me or turn on your mobile device to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. And it's just a couple verses that we're going to focus on there in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:30, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." There, Paul is inviting us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Just like we can grieve other people when we hurt them, we can grieve the Spirit who's personal. But instead, he invites us to allow that Spirit to do his cleansing work in our hearts, in our souls. So verse 31, he says, get rid of, and then he lists six character qualities, their negative character qualities. Get rid of that bitterness and the anger and the rage. Some of us might look at that list and say, how is that possible? Man, I've been living with this for so long. How do I get rid of that? Well, how many have a... I'm using the NIV. I've got the word get as the first word in verse 31. Who's got a different word? Shout it out. It rhymes with get. Let. Some of you have get let in your translation there. That would be a literal translation. Let is the first word in the Greek there. That we let the Spirit of God do that cleansing work in us. As we open our hearts. Yeah, we've got a part to play in it. In a sense, we've got to get rid of it. We've got to do something. But it's the Spirit that's prompting. It's the Spirit that's drawing us to himself. And he's the one who's pointing out the sin in our life and calling us to repentance. And that we repent of this as we follow the Spirit of Jesus. And we become new cleansed people. And how do we do it? Verse 32 there, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Christ is our supreme example of forgiveness, and he's our motivation for forgiveness, that we forgive as a forgiven people. We forgive because he's forgiven us. And that word there, forgiving each other, that's in the present tense, meaning it's an ongoing thing, right? It's not just a one-time thing. Oh, yeah, I did that last year. No, we continually have this attitude, this lifestyle of forgiveness. A guilty heart. A guilty heart is a heart that says, I owe. And the remedy for a guilty heart is confession to God and to another. Everybody say that word confession. That we confess. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. A guilty heart needs to be washed clean. And it's washed clean through confession and receiving the forgiveness of Christ. We confess to God and we confess to another. And we're generally more... We prefer to do the former. We'll confess to God, but confessing to another, we think, what happens if I open myself up? But generally, we're as sick as our secrets. And so the more likely we are to open up to one person that we trust, the more likely that healing and cleansing can come in to our lives. And that unforgiveness, that guilt that affixes itself to our hearts can be set free. I was listening this morning to John Ortberg. He was on the Carrie Newhoff show, and I was listening to this podcast. And John Ortberg made an interesting statement. He said, when it comes to the longevity of pastors in their profession, the primary indicator of longevity in pastoral work is, do they have one close soul friend? Are pastors willing to open themselves up? Are we as a people willing to open ourselves up? See, we have a Narcotics Anonymous group that meets here on Friday evenings. And if you were to ask anybody from that NA group and say, can you overcome a debilitating condition by just between you and God in private? They'd say, not a chance. That's why we're here, confessing to one another. It says we take that risk. And there is a risk in it. But think about it. Think about it in terms of cost-benefit analysis. If you keep your sins secret, what's the effect of that? Well, there's all kinds of effects, right? That happen at our soul level. That can even happen physically in our bodies. Psalm 32 talks about that we can become physically sick as a result of guilt and sin in our lives. Yes, we take the risk. We open ourselves up to another. But then the healing comes in. And the guck of guilt that is fastened to our souls gets set free. Let's talk about an angry heart. An angry heart is one that says, you owe me. And the remedy for an angry heart is forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. It's letting go of that attitude that says, you owe me. As unforgiveness, or resentment, or bitterness affixed itself to your soul this year? And if so, are you going to let it go? If not today, why not? What are you waiting for? You say, well, they hurt me. Yeah, but by being unforgiving, you're hurting yourself, right? It's like you're drinking rat poison, expecting the rat to die, but you're the one that's drinking it. You say, well, they haven't owned up to their part in it, or they haven't apologized. But what if they never do? Are you going to just keep waiting and allowing that guilt, allowing that anger to live in your soul and to hurt you? You do it for yourself. The motivation is, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Some of us have been evaluating our lives based on the hurt of the past, and we live in that shadow of that hurt. And we evaluate ourselves, we evaluate other relationships in light of that shadow. But I say, don't live in that shadow. Instead, live in the light of the one who came. Matthew 1:21 that we read earlier, that he will save his people from our sins. Let's live in that light rather than in this shadow. Let's live in the light of the one who came to set us free, who came as the forgiver of your soul. As I put on your outline, you don't forgive the other person because they deserve to be forgiven. You forgive because you've been forgiven. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You don't forgive because the other person, because they deserve to be forgiven. You forgive because you've been forgiven. And only the truly forgiven know how to forgive, because we recognize that we're this minnow in the ocean of God's mercy, that we're living in His grace, and therefore we can forgive. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And so, friends, let's do that. Let's do that today. Let's do some spiritual breathing today, just like we'll be breathing all day. Let's do spiritual breathing, that we exhale and we inhale. We exhale the sin, the crud, the guck that affixes itself to our hearts. And we inhale the forgiveness of Christ. Reflecting on this passage this week, I was thinking about my life and thinking about 2017. And last weekend on Friday night, we had Justin Reese and the team here. And in his little monologue, he dropped a stone on the stage here. And I felt like that was my heart. And I thought this week, how is my heart become hard like a stone in 2017? Why have I allowed these expectations that I have, or things that I thought God would work out for me that He hasn't worked out? Why have I allowed that to harden my heart? And it scared me this week because I found myself keeping score. And that's a bad place to be at your soul level when you're keeping score, whether it's with another person or with God. And so I say to anybody else here this morning who's found in 2017 that your heart has gotten hard, that Christ, as your forgiver, brought you here this morning, that you would experience His grace, His forgiveness. Maybe it's been a good year, maybe it's been a hard year for you. Maybe you're looking forward to Christmas, or maybe there's some things you're hesitant about. Maybe you're going into it thinking, oh, I've got this guilt I owe. I say, let it go today. Maybe you're going to see someone over the Christmas season and even nearly thinking, they owe me. What they did hurt me. I say, come to the one who wants to wash your soul clean. Let Him wash away that bitterness, that resentment, that unforgiveness that can stick to your soul. Exhale it and inhale the forgiveness of Christ. Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger. Why don't we go to prayer and why don't we just contemplate those words? Why don't we just kind of exhale? Maybe some of that bitterness, some of that anger, some of that guilt that you might find in your life even right now. Just exhale it. Just between you and God. Let it out. God, I pray right now you would just speak into each of our lives, speak into each of our relationships, speak into our souls, that we would be set free. Just reflect on those words. Let the Spirit perhaps will bring a person into mind even now. And He's saying, let it go. Get rid of that bitterness, that anger, that unforgiveness. And the next verse, verse 32, forgiving each other as in Christ God has forgiven you. You've been exhaling, why don't you inhale now? Inhale that forgiveness of Christ. Inhale His grace right now. Receive His forgiveness so that you can live as a forgiven and free person. Ask Jesus to do that right now in your life. Now, with eyes closed and heads bowed, perhaps this morning you want to just let this go. Let this unforgiveness, let this bitterness, perhaps like me, your hard-heartedness, you just want to just leave it here this morning. If that's you this morning, why don't you just put up your hand to say, God, this is my decision I'm making this morning. Yeah. Yeah, it's my decision. I'm leaving it here. Yeah, yeah. God, I'm leaving this behind right now, right here. Yeah. God, you see these hands. You see each of our hearts. Our desire is to align with you and to live as someone in the light of the cross, where the ground is level and we stand as guilty people, we stand receiving that amazing, incredible forgiveness from you. Jesus, we want to bask in that, and we want to live in that, and we want to extend that towards ourselves and the guilt we feel in our own hearts and towards others that we encounter, Jesus. We do that through your powerful name. Amen.